Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selina McKenzie.
Our brains are incredibly adept at repair.
The me nobody sees.
We create our own realities.
A deep insight into mental health.
This is indeed The Me Nobody Sees, which is our mental health awareness programme. Today we are going to be discussing depression. It's something that affects more people than we often realise. It doesn't always look the way we expect. For some it's quiet, for others it's heavy and overwhelming, and for many it's something that they carry in silence. Whether you've been through it yourself, you're supporting someone who's struggling, or you just want to understand it better, this is a safe space for an honest conversation. I am delighted to be joined by Gabrielle de Gama.
Hello. Hi, Selina.
Hi.
Lovely to be here.
Our usual Michelle Mack.
Hello.
And Kim Van Hellen.
Thank you for taking me here.
You're welcome for taking you here. Let's start the show.
The Me Nobody Sees. A deep insight into mental health.
Now, if you've got a question, a story, or just something you want to say, then you can call us, WhatsApp, or email us, and this is how to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34 645 99 67 95.
Okay, ladies, did you know that on the 10th of October, which is about 8 days, it is World Mental Health Awareness Day?
Indeed,
yes.
I did.
Ah, jolly good. I've just been speaking to a lovely guy in the first hour called Jonathan Kemp, and he's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur, but he's suffered for 60 years with depression, anxiety, and what's the other one? Neurodivergent, dyslexia. And he said he found his own way. Nobody told him what to do. He refused to go for help, which he now realises he should have gone for help, but he's found his own path and he wants to share it with others. So I like stories like that. So first of all, Gabby, what is it that you do and how can you help people who may be suffering?
Hi, Selina. Yes, so I am a connection and purpose coach. And so the way that I help people is mainly finding themselves again, connecting them with themselves again, especially their emotions, and finding purpose and meaning in life.
We do sort of lose our way sometimes, don't we?
We definitely do.
Very easy to do as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Kim, tell us about you.
I'm a spiritual life coach and I help people to find purpose in life, to set goals. And when they're struggling, I help them to get them on the right path again.
Another one, another right path. And Michelle is our survivor.
I am. I am a survivor of depression and much more. And I'm here to dispense
all your knowledge.
A load of wisdom.
Do you think, all three of you, that depression is harder to deal with in today's world? Is easier, it should say, to deal with in today's world? Or are we just more open about it? I mean, I remember when I was at school and I was suffering from depression and it wasn't what you talked about 30 or 40 years ago. You know, it was a tough thing. But nowadays, we talk about it more openly. The stars, the celebrities are talking about it more openly. Do you think it's easier?
I think it probably is easier. If I think about it, in my family, it wasn't something that we talked about. My sister suffered from depression, but we certainly never mentioned that that's what it was. And I then went through it myself much later in life and would not have recognised it either, because we think that depression is all being sad and,
I know,
you know, hiding under your bed covers maybe, but that wasn't my situation. I only recognised it much later. And it was judged a lot, I think.
It was judged. There was more of a stigma. There's still a bit of a stigma. Gabby, Kim. Getting you mixed up. Kim, what do you think? Do you think it's easier now to deal with it?
On the one hand, yeah, people are more open to it. On the other hand, we receive so many inputs. Like, we receive 11 million bits of sensory input a second. And we're all on our phone, we're all on our laptop, we receive so much, and only 50% of that, or 50 bits of it, goes into our conscious mind, and the rest goes into the unconscious mind. Ah. We're not aware of the fact that we overstimulate our brain all the time. So, yeah, on the one hand, people are talking about it. On the other hand, people are not dealing with regulating yourself on a day-to-day base.
Now, that makes sense, because I suffer from IBS, and sometimes I'll say to my husband, oh, I've got terrible IBS, and he says, well, are you stressed about anything? I say, no, I'm absolutely fine. And he'll say, but I know that this is on your mind, so I don't consciously think that I'm stressed, but my body is saying, well, actually,
your body is the best marker of that, actually. The much more than you realise, excuse me.
And the gut particularly.
The gut particularly, but we've also learnt so much in the last few years about gut biomes and how they affect our mental health. However, when you are stressed, when you are anxious, when you are depressed, your body will manifest a million and one different things often to make you slow down, to make you stop, to make you take time out, because it's telling you you need to chill out. So whether you get a migraine, whether you get an upset stomach, whether you get pains or aches in different parts of your body, the body is a very good marker for those sort of things. So do listen to your body, people.
A lot of people get a lot of physical pain, don't they? I mean, I know a couple of people.
My own problems, mental health problems, started and were really diagnosed correctly, actually, when my body physically started being affected by it, and I went looking for a medical solution to the pain that I was in and the problems that I was having physically, but actually it wasn't a physical problem.
Yeah. Kim, can past trauma come out later in life in things like illness?
Huge, yes. Around 40, a lot of people start noticing that past trauma is coming above, and it can come out in a burnout, it can become a depression, it can be, you know, one day you start working and then the next second you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what to do. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Mm-hmm. Those are all signals of your body, exactly like she says. Your body is telling you, it's giving you signals like, okay, now it's time to stop. Now it's time to embrace life. And now it's time to embrace the fact that you're in a burnout, because the burnout is telling you you've done enough and you need to start listening to your body. Mm. So I see it as a positive thing. But for people that are in it, it's terrible. I have several clients that are in it and they can use guidance to see the bright spots again in life.
Is the answer, sorry, Michelle, is the answer to talk about it? I mean, I know people have been through very bad trauma in their childhood and it has come out in later life, and they've been told, well, you need to see a therapist and you need to talk about it. But they've said, I really don't want to relive it again.
Some people can't. Some people can, some people can't. It's the same with all therapy. Some people are able to go down that road and open themselves up and put themselves through it. Because in fairness, and both the ladies either side of me will probably agree, therapy isn't easy. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be. To get to the nub of the problem and to sort things out, it isn't an easy ride. And often people think it is. And some people just find that experience too traumatic to relive again.
Yeah. Gabby, do you ever get men coming to see you?
Not very often, actually. It's very interesting. I think in general, in this space that we're in, so many women come because we are more open to our emotions and expressing them and are able to be more vulnerable. Men find that very scary.
They do.
And I think I very often feel very sorry for men because they do very often suffer a lot more than we realise. And it comes out in different ways, but it's the women that can be there to support them if we look after ourselves.
Yeah.
So I do agree that, you know, I think the men, it's a very silent thing going on there. And I think a lot of the things that we're seeing in the world is a reflection of that. I think a lot of the aggression and the frustration that we're seeing is actually a sign of probably different types of depression. And one thing we haven't mentioned maybe is, what is depression exactly? And my version of what I believe is the definition of depression is, it's about pushing things down. If you think, what is a depression? It's pushing things down. What are we pushing down. And what we're pushing down, I believe, is our feelings and our emotions. Mm. And that is where it all starts. So when we push down our feelings and our emotions and they're not expressed, then this sits in our body. So that's how we create these illnesses of all types. Very often comes from unexpressed emotions.
So really, it should be talked about, if it's at all possible, when you're a child, or, you know, just after the trauma has happened, not keep it inside until you're a fully fledged adult. But it's not always that easy, is it?
It isn't. No, I think as children, I think we, our parents are equally affected by how they were brought up and what they were told that they could express or not during their lives. And we all create our patterns and we find our ways of survival in the world. We need to be accepted by the people around us. As children, we're totally dependent for our survival on our parents and our caregivers. And so we then adapt the way that we express to what is acceptable around us and what makes us feel some kind of love and connection.
Yeah.
And so that's basically why it's so difficult for certain emotions to be expressed. If we've learned really early on, whether it's through some big trauma or whether there are lots of small little traumas where we've been told, like, oh, that's not an emotion that can be expressed, that we keep and hold it in, and then we find ways around it.
And do you both as therapists feel that we medicate too quickly, or does medication have its place in depression?
Not a big fan of medication, no, because medication suppresses your emotions instead of that you're able to express them. So I do realize that a lot of people are very, they need medication because they are not able to live their day-to-day life anymore without using antidepressant, for example. But in my line of work, I believe that, like she says, everything you receive, it will go into your body. If you don't express it, it will get stuck in there. So there are tools you can use to improve your life when you're in depression, like meditation, go into nature, have nature walks, do anything that makes you happy. Try to get your endorphin, your happy hormones up. And a lot of people that are in depression rather sit inside, don't socialize, stay calm and just on their own. But socializing is actually something everyone needs.
Mm. Michelle?
I'm going to counter these two lovely ladies because I think there is a place for medication.
I agree with
not
you.
Everybody should have it and not everybody needs it, but there is a place for it in combination with therapy. Not everybody can get through these things on their own. No. And I think if you are in a place where you are really struggling and you don't have the tools in place that we all have because we've done the work, medication can be extremely useful to see you through very difficult mm-hmm. periods. I'm not saying it's a solution, but I am saying that don't rule it out.
Yeah, it's not right for everyone, but it can help people.
Yes, absolutely. I honestly believe that there are times in our lives where medically it is the right thing to do.
I also think, sadly, if you're really, really in that deep, dark hole of depression, the last thing you want to do is socialise. You can't even get yourself dressed sometimes.
Normally you can't get
really,
out of bed.
Really bad. I mean, I always remember, I can't remember who she was, a presenter years ago when I was going through a bad episode. I'm talking about 30-odd years ago. And she came on TV and she said, all you need to do is exercise. I've had depression. Just exercise. You know, if you've had really bad depression, you can't get out of bed, let alone think about exercising. So I think it was a bit of a silly thing to say, really.
But it does help, though.
Opinion. I'm sure it does.
Exercising does help.
I'm sure it does, but if you're really severely depressed...
Yeah, then it's
exercise is key.
Yes.
It raises our, as you said, endorphins. It lowers our cortisol levels. It does all sorts of things. But when you are in that black hole, when you have got the black dog snapping at your heels and you feel like the biggest piece of SH1T mm. in the world, nothing
no.
will make you move. And you need to have little things that can slowly you can build on. It's easy to say, get up, get out, go for a walk. Yes, we all know it'll do you good, but it's actually the getting up that is the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Setting very small goals. That is something you can do on a day-to-day basis when you're in depression. Really small goals. Mm. Just get up, get yourself a cup of tea. That can be a goal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And to people that live on a regular day-to-day life, that's not a goal. Yes, it is. When you're in depression, it is. And stepping outside, walking in nature, that's a huge goal. But if you do it, you will feel the endorphins and the happy hormones in your body. And it will help you to ground more and to level more.
I don't know if you remember, Michelle, a couple of months ago, we had a lovely lady called Sandy on. She often comes on this show, and she's been through really bad depression. And she says she remembers feeling absolutely euphoric when she could go out and sweep the drive. She said, I got a brush in my hand. She said, I hadn't been able to get out of bed and do something like sweep the driveway or sweep the pathway. She said, and as soon as I did it, that was my first step to getting better.
It's truly amazing how once you are slowly starting to rebuild, small things like that bring so much joy and pleasure. And it really is remembering that as well. Mm. You know, we don't all need to be out on some big journey or kick or anything like that. Little things, the day-to-day things that all are really important. Even just, as you say, making a cup of tea, getting out of bed, having a shower, putting clean underwear on, taking a wash out the machine. The things that all of us take for granted on a day-to-day basis are sometimes impossible for somebody living with chronic depression.
And do you, Gabby, ever see any loved ones, any family members? Because it's equally hard for them to know how to deal with somebody who's depressed, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it happens a lot. I mean, from my own personal experience, seeing other people depressed is really hard because you feel so helpless in helping them. But that's an interesting thing because it's literally reflecting back the helplessness that they feel as well to get themselves out. So we're literally seeing each other's helplessness because that's what depression is all about. It's this total feeling of hopelessness and helplessness.
Yeah.
And one of the things I just wanted to point out is that there's actually lots of people with depression without them being aware that they've got it.
Oh.
And it's something that you might call high-functioning depression. And this is the one that I suffered from, which I didn't realise was depression until long after. And this is where it looks like you're dealing with life as normal. You're still going to work. You're still doing all the work at home. You're taking care of your kids, whatever you might be doing. But underneath, there's this huge feeling of hopelessness, and you might well be, it might show itself in some kind of types of masking, being false about things, but you will see that you will lose contact with your old friends, you'll avoid it, you'll be self-doubting, there'll be a lot of indecisiveness, a lot of irritability. I had that an awful lot with my kids that were still young. I was constantly flying off the handle with them and then feeling terrible about it afterwards. And then, you know, when you're in a situation where everything is just too much, that is a similar thing. But I kept going, and it was interestingly enough not until I got sick, but I got asthma attacks, which I'd had when I was young, and they came back. And it was when a doctor was prescribing me a medication that I didn't want to take that I finally found my solution. I went to a homeopath, and he was the one that suddenly realized what my problem was. And this is where it's so interesting again, this emotional connection to the body. He made me connect to my feelings as I was short of breath, and got me to explain what it was that I was feeling. And I started talking about a burden, about repression, about pressure on myself, you know, and all the tears started flowing, which I'd been holding back all those years.
Great doctor.
He was amazing as a homeopath. Yeah. And what I'm trying to say is that there are lots of solutions. And he prescribed me something that I didn't even take for 2 weeks. I thought, yeah, right, that's not going to work. I took it once. The next day, I woke up a different person. It was incredible.
Oh, brilliant.
It was, yeah, that's and sometimes you can just be lucky like that. It took me a long time to come out of that tunnel, but just to get that spark of energy again was incredible.
I really relate to Gabby's story because mine was very similar in that sense, but I got very sick before mine was diagnosed. But again, physical, really, really, really ill to the point that I was hospitalised and nobody knew what was wrong with me. So I was very, very grateful to my own psychotherapist at the time who discovered what was wrong with me and took me out of hospital and under her wing. But it is a journey, and everybody's journey is completely different and completely individual with regard to that. And no one way is right.
No. Everybody's body is different.
That's the thing. With everything in regards to therapy, no one way suits every single person.
Yeah. I think my advice to a family member is not try and sort it, not try and give a solution. Just say, I'm here. if you want to talk, I'm here. If you want to just sit next to me and we'll sit in silence, I'm here. Just to let someone know that they're not on their own. But you don't want the problem sorting. You can't sort it.
No.
You can. But you can try therapy.
Just
you can try medication.
Support is so crucial.
Just be there.
Yeah.
It's connection, isn't it? And I think this is one of the things. I was typically the kind of person that was all right. I was always fine, always happy and whatever. And I wasn't used to this more downside of things. That was my sister's role. You know, I was the happy one. I was always sorted. And then for me to be there, it was really hard for me to accept. And I couldn't share it with anyone. You know, I could not show the world that I was in a bad place. And then but it was really important for me to go through that because it made it much easier for me later on to relate to people that were there.
Before,
I hadn't been able to. And so if any of us are in a situation where a family member is in a bad place, to try and be where they are just for a little while really helps. Because it makes them not feel judged anymore.
Yeah.
And I know that I was one of the judgy ones in the past, you know.
So interesting.
It's really interesting, yeah. And I think just being able to be vulnerable and knowing where those emotions are and being able to feel sadness when you've not wanted to feel that for a long time.
Yeah, just accept that's how you're feeling. Yeah. Don't try and fight it.
I do think when you've been through it yourself, you become so much more or less judgmental everything and everyone.
Yeah.
Because you know that you can look at somebody in the street and have no idea what is going on.
Be
in
like
their
a
life.
Swan looking all serene.
Well, this is
on
what
the
I was going to say when she was exactly. It's a bit like the picture of the duck, isn't it? Looking, gliding down the water and paddling furiously underneath.
But I remember you saying on last month's show, Michelle, that the best therapists have been through it themselves.
Yeah,
absolutely.
People have been through it because you understand it. You're not just spouting out something. You know yourself.
All psychotherapists usually have been through and need to go through therapy themselves while they're doing their training. And if they haven't been, they're not proper therapists.
And that's the way I became a life coach, because I was in a burnout and I wasn't able to work for a year. It didn't become a depression. It was still a burnout, but I was there from the moment it started. I noticed it. I got myself to a psychiatrist and I got myself working on myself. And that's when I found out if you work on yourself and if you do the practice and if you do the meditation and the grounding, go back in nature, that helped me tremendously. Otherwise, I wouldn't suggest it to other people. And then while I did my study, because I was an executive secretary for over 25 years, and this burnout forced me to do something else with my life.
Was that burnout from work or burnout from life or both?
All of it. Both. I was dealing with way too much. I lost both my parents within 2 years due to cancer. Yes. I moved. I got married. There was way too much going on and I just crashed. And there was a lot going on in my work too. So I crashed. And then I had to start working on myself. It wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. The journey was very hard, but it's very fulfilling when you get to the end of the tunnel. And that is what happens when you're in depression, or for me, in my case, in burnout. You're in a tunnel. Like, you see the light at the end of it, but around you, it's all dark.
It's very dim.
It's very dim.
It's
and
very
you,
dark.
And you know you have to go towards the light, but everything in your life is just kind of holding you back. And for me, it was holding me back because I wasn't dealing with all my past emotions and all my past traumas.
So I had to go through it. But you were very lucky because you realized and noticed it within yourself, which is quite unusual because, mm-hmm. as you say, Gabby, most people don't. I was a high-functioning depressive. You know, I was like you. I ran a business. I ran a home. I had two children. I was the life and soul of the party. Nobody would have thought that I had mental health issues, including me.
Yeah. They
exactly.
only noticed it with me because I wasn't able to get out of bed one day.
Yeah.
That was it. Mm-hmm. My boy was like, nope, you're not doing anything anymore. And all I could do was cry. That was all.
Yeah. And have you both, Kim and Gabby, obviously you with your homeopath and you with your situation, have you both been okay since or do you still have relapses?
I've been okay since, but I do my practices on a daily basis.
Practice what
I
you preach.
Never want to go back to that place again.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, for me, it was a very long journey after the homeopath, but just to start feeling bits of myself again, it was literally like you lose part of yourself. It's like a sense of self has gone
when
you're depressed. And I was aware that I'd lost that sense of self. So where is the old Gabby? Where is she? You know, and why? Well, I sort of had given her up. I'd gone into a job and corporate life. And I thought, well, that was my old life. And this is my current life. And this is how things are. And to not realize that there was another way, you know, and to suddenly come, you know, to finally come out of that, I was actually laid off at the end of sort of probably about 5 years after that. And then it was just trying to find my new life. I said, what am I going to do now? And then literally piecing myself back together again. I wasn't in a bad situation anymore then. I was pretty lively, but it was still this lost parts of myself trying to find them. And so it was a long journey. And yes, I do have moments that I doubt myself, because that self-doubt, I think we all have it.
Oh gosh.
But you know, there is no longer that helplessness anymore, you know, that's the part that's gone. And the numbness is gone, because the courses that I did, I also retrained as a coach, and I did one that was a particular course that was very much emotions focused. And one of the first things I had to work on was showing vulnerability. Yeah. I could see the other people on the course that they were able to cry in front of others. I was incapable of that. Uh-huh. Because of the way I'd been brought up. My mom, you know, we've got given any kind of recognition for not crying. That was the good thing to do, was not to cry. Mm. And so I was that, you know, I was always happy.
Conditioning. It plays such a big part in our lives.
Yeah. A lot of our adult life is, well, it's all conditioned by our childhood, isn't it? We've not even taken our first advert break yet. We need to take our first advert break, but we will be right back.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
This is the Me Nobody Sees. I am joined by Gabrielle de Gamma, Kim Van Hellen and Michelle Mack. And we have had some WhatsApps in. Before we go through them, I just want to remind you that if you want to join in the conversation or ask our experts for any advice, here's how to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Okie dokie, question number one. She said, I'll call myself Maeve, somewhere on the Costa del Sol. Great show. Thank you, ladies. But how do I know if it's depression or just a bad patch? What a great question.
Ooh, well, Maeve, somewhere on the Costa del Sol. You'd know if it was depression, really depression, because you, as we've discussed, can't function when you're really depressed. You know, even if you're going through a bad patch, you can find the strength normally to do general everyday tasks. When you're truly depressed, you can't. You can't actually function on a day-to-day level. So that should tell you whether it's just a bad patch or you're depressed. Having said that, you know, I've done years and years of treatment. I have all the tools at my disposal. That doesn't mean to say I don't get a bad patch every now and again. You know, we live in a very crazy world with lots of pressures on us, from family to jobs to the global pressures that we're all feeling at the moment with everything going on. So, you know, we will hit bad patches from time to time. It's how we manage them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would suggest what these two ladies, particularly what Kim suggests, get yourself outdoors while we've still got some nice weather on the Costa del Sol before it gets too cool. Go outside, spend some time outside in the fresh air, walk with nature. If you have anybody you know with animals that you can interact with, they give us quite a lot of an uplifting feeling as well. So to bring up the all the hormones and the bring the cortisol levels down, anything like that. If you find yourself in, say, a week's time still feeling the same way, then go and seek medical advice and speak to somebody professional. It could be mild depression, but I'm not a medical professional, and the person you need to talk to would be a medical professional.
Good advice. And I do agree with you. The sunshine, I mean, that was my saviour. If I still lived in the UK, I think I'd be depressed every day, because it's so grey and miserable. But the sunshine does affect your endorphins, your serotonin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
SAD.
Does yes, people do suffer from
it. They do. And at least down here, we have that sunshine and blue sky, so you're less affected in that sense.
Yeah, indeed. I was just thinking of all the different types. We've got seasonal affective disorder, we've got postnatal depression, which is a whole other story, post-traumatic stress disorder. Do you ladies help with all these illnesses?
Yes.
Excellent. I've had them all.
Everything that happens within the body, I'm able to help with. I do suggest when you're in depression, you should also seek professional help, but to see how you can get through life, to set your goals, to have non-judgmental person listen to your story, which actually is very, very powerful. If you're able to tell your story, you're also able to see what is holding you back. You're also able to see what you are, what you want, but you're not doing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, good advice.
I love what you just said. I think I probably wouldn't work with people who are in a really bad state of depression, but I definitely work with people who've been through it and are self-doubting still. They're probably more the high-functional depressives, or one, people that have been through it are still finding their way. And I love, one of the things that I absolutely love doing is to find, and I think Kim's kind of touched on it, finding that treasure inside those difficult moments. Mm. Because it's the difficult moments that make us who we are. And if we didn't have these moments of difficulty in our lives, we wouldn't also appreciate the good moments.
Yeah.
So we need that contrast, and we also need to see that there is something quite amazing to be found in every difficult moment in our lives.
Yeah. I also think don't beat yourself up, because, you know, if you are finding you can't cope with something, you know, it's life. We're all human. Don't make yourself
feel worse. But we women, we always beat ourselves up over everything.
Well, that's very true. That's about, and that is a woman trait, isn't it?
It's a little voice in yourself. It's
and particularly,
not so,
I mean, particularly if you are a parent and going through this stuff. You know, you want to be there for your kids. You want to do all sorts of stuff. And when you can't be there for yourself and you're not functioning yourself, you can't be there and present for anyone else. Mm.
It's like the seatbelt on the plane, isn't it? You can't help somebody else's with their seatbelt unless you've got yours on.
So true.
Right, we've got some more, and we've got some more coming through. Let me just have a look. Hi, Selena. Right, let's just do these first, and then I'll go to those. Anonymous in Costa Dorada. I'm on medication, but I still feel low. Is that normal, Gabby, do you think?
Yeah, I think, well, I've been close to people who have taken medication, and I would certainly say that they felt low during their medication as well. I think it's one of those things that it needs to be complementary to other things, and so medication itself is not going to be enough. I think it's a wonderful way to feel, you know, to come out of that deepest depth of despair, but it certainly isn't shouldn't be used by itself. And I think all the things that Kim's mentioned before about going out, and also Michelle's mentioned about animals, it's all about connection.
Mm.
And that numbness that we feel with the medication doesn't really, you know, really make us connect. And it's trying to find that connection again.
And some people don't, the first lot of medication that can be given to someone, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you have to find the right one for you, or the right amount for you.
This is very
absolutely
true.
I mean, medicate, look, I'm a great proponent of it to start with, but I'm totally with the other ladies on this. It doesn't work just on its own.
No.
Don't expect it to be a complete fix. It's a sticking plaster. It's not the solution. It helps us overcome things along with other practices. And I would say you can still be feeling low on your medication. That's quite normal. You might not be on the right dosage. You might not be on the right medication. So again, go back to your medical professional. Depends how long you've been on your medication. Most antidepressants or stuff like that usually take between 3 to 4 weeks to kick in and work properly. And you might just not be on the right one for you.
And I think the important thing to say is, if you do find it working and you think, I don't need it anymore, don't just stop it. Make sure you wean yourself off it slowly and with professional advice. So hopefully Anonymous in Costa Dorada, that helped. And the third one that came in before I look at the next lot is, again, Anonymous. I am listening in the UK. Thank you to the three ladies. Great programme. But any advice on how to help someone close to me who simply won't talk about their feelings? Do you want to take this one, Kim?
Yes. If that is a person that's really close to you, like your spouse, be non-judgmental, be open, listen to whatever they go through if they want to talk. If they don't want to talk, don't push it. Just be there. And the most important thing, be there for yourself, because you're not able to give out of an empty cup. So take care of yourself. If it's your spouse, go out. Enjoy life and be there for him when you're at home. But while you are not connected, just go out, enjoy yourself, have fun, and make sure that your cup remains full.
Perfect. Very, very good advice. Hope that helps to you, Anonymous in the UK. And we have a caller. Good afternoon. You're live on TRE.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello. I wasn't quite expecting this, but thank you, Selena. My name is Lotta. I live in Marbella. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Lotta.
Hi, love.
How are you, ladies? I'm listening with great, great interest, and I think it's amazing what you women are doing and highlighting a lot of things that a lot of women are not aware of, or they're too afraid to speak up as well. So I'm really happy to hear that you're highlighting some very interesting and serious issues for women, and so that they don't feel so alone.
Oh, great. We appreciate
you so
that.
Much. I'm saluting you, all of you.
And we salute you back.
We salute you back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to be live on air. It was such a surprise.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice. You've only got 500,000 people listening to you.
Oh, is that all? Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad they can't see me. I'm glad they can just hear me.
Oh, listen, we're all sitting in the studio thinking exactly the same thing, Lotta.
Do I have time for a question?
Of course you do, yeah.
Okay. I am a vivid gym bunny, and I'm 55 and I've gone through the menopause. I'm not taking any HRT apart from an estrogen patch to level up my estrogen, and I go to CrossFit most days, and I have been told that it's can be a little bit hard on the body to be doing such high intensity training, raising adrenal levels, raising cortisol levels. However, I've been to my doctor and just had all my bloods done, and everything is normal, so to speak.
So what are you looking for an answer for on this, Lotta? Are you looking to see whether you should be balancing it out with a different type of exercise?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
My view is I'm probably slightly older than... Well, I know I'm slightly older than you, but I'm not giving my age away. And really, at our age, coming into that age period of time, I think what you're doing is fantastic. Stay at it, but balance it out with strength training or yoga. Pilates or something where you're stretching as well, and not just pumping iron or running and cardio. We need a good balance of all of them. And balance, actually, one of the most important things is balance. If your balance is good as you get older, it plays a huge factor in all other aspects of your health as well. So look for things like yoga, Pilates. There is a specialist gym in San Pedro which works for older people with strength training as well. So there's lots of that to do.
Gabby?
Okay, that's really good advice.
No, Kim, my advice would be for Kim and Gabby to bring you along to one of our menopause meetings. That's the best advice I can give you.
I would love to see you there.
Okay, that sounds amazing. If you can let me know at some point where and when that is,
I certainly will. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Lotta. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a lovely lady. We need to take our second advert break. We'll be back on the other side.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Okie dokie, it's a very busy show and a very popular subject. We've got more WhatsApps coming in. I'm going to just move my microphone so I can read this one. It's quite long. I don't know who wants to take this one, but it says, is there any reason and or is it normal that when I feel a huge deep sadness and when my breaths are paper thin, I have sharp pain in my fingertips and the side of my hand? I have an appointment with the doctor next week after feeling overwhelmed and desperately sad since last year, really. So I am reaching out for some help, but I am interested to know about this pain in the fingers thing when feeling so sad.
We all sat here and went...
Anxiety.
Yeah.
So
anxiety.
If this lady is feeling very overwhelmed and very under pressure, very stressed, this sounds like a form of panic attack or anxiety attack that she's specifically experiencing. If you've had them, they are the most vile things ever. Nobody wants one, but we all experience them differently, so they can affect us all differently. I don't know if... you had them, Gabby, or
I've lived
you've
with
had
somebody
them,
who had them very frequently, so I know exactly
And I think they can show themselves in different ways. When I used to have panic attacks, I used to get really hot and feel faint, and I was sweating, I'd go pale. Yeah. And people laugh, they say, oh, don't panic. And it's like a panic attack is an illness.
It's not a laughable thing either. So we really do sympathise with this lady, and she's doing 100% the right thing by going back to check with her doctor.
Yeah. And if you ever get an anxiety attack, what helps some of my clients is to do box breathing. Mm. It is you inhale through your nose for 4 counts, hold your breath for 4 counts, exhale through your mouth for 4 counts, and then hold your breath again for 4 counts, and do that in 3 rounds. Then your nervous system gets more calmer, so anxiety attack also gets more calmer. And if you're in a supermarket and you don't want to do a breathing exercise, which I totally understand, what you can do then is do awareness practice. That is, notice 5 things around you that you see, 4 things that you can touch, and 3 things that you can hear.
That's
so you put your focus
idea.
On something really, else yeah. than on your anxiety.
That's a very good idea.
Also, I'm going to lower the tone completely now and say clench your butthole.
Does that help?
Amazingly, I know it sounds really stupid, but what you're doing by clenching down below is you are contracting your. It's all to do with your vagus nerve.
I'm doing it now as I'm looking.
I know.
At it. Really?
No, that's the beautiful thing about it, Selena. No one can tell you're clenching. Oh. But your vagus nerve, by doing that 3 times and doing the box breathing even with it, if you can, brings your cortisol levels right down as well. So there are lots of useful tips one can do out in public in situations like this.
We salute you. We're with you, lady in Mallorca. I know who it is. I'm not going to say, but we're with you. We've all been through it, and you will get it sorted. Go to your doctor and don't take no for an answer. That's my advice to you. And I'm always here if you want to talk. I know what it's like. Right. Good afternoon. I'm not going to say this lady's name. She hasn't said not to, but she might not want me to. I love the Me Nobody Sees. Thank you very much. I suffered from depression from an early age. First time a doctor told me I was depressed, I was 19, and I've been dealing with it on and off for a long time. The worst time I didn't identify it, I tried to avoid medication, but I ended up on antidepressants for nearly 5 years. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find any other support, and my doctor seemed happy to prescribe it forever. I managed to come off the antidepressants with homeopathic support. Now I'm much better, and I have realised I feel better when I behave more like I feel and not like I think I should behave.
Yes, being more, that's the answer.
Yeah, we like that.
Love that.
Being more coherent with my feelings at the risk of seeming nearly rude at times feels healthier. Pets, yoga and meditation are now my medicine. We're going to give you a round of applause.
Yay!
You found your
pets,
way, you've made
yoga
a connection.
And meditation.
Yes.
Go for it.
We like that. We like that. Thank you very much. Oh, we've got more. I'm going to try and get through them before the end of the show. That's a kiss and a thank you. That's back at you. Right, 2 more. I will call myself Ray. I've been feeling numb for months. It's good that it's a guy. Is that a sign of depression?
Yes, it can be.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Feeling very
Also be your testosterone level is dropping, depends on his age.
Could be the andropause, couldn't it?
Absolutely, and that can also make him feel depressed.
It can.
See your doctor, because you can get help for that.
Definitely.
You can get, as women have HRT, you can definitely get help. So hopefully I will call myself Ray. That has helped. Go see your doctor. Final one, anonymous, and I'm sorry we can't take any more because we are running out of time. Anonymous, I've done that one. Oh, no, that's it. Did I read Ray's out? I've been feeling... Yes.
Oh,
no, that's the second one.
And also, coming back on to Ray, and a man having the temerity, or not, to send in an email. Thank you, Ray. It's really good that men are talking, and we need to get more of you emailing, phoning and talking about this subject, because not enough men are talking about it.
We do. Michelle.
I feel ashamed of it. It's just a shame,
actually. I know. This gentleman that I was talking to earlier, he said, I was in the Met Police. He said, you know, we didn't talk about feelings when I was in the Met Police. The only one time, we've been doing this show, 3-4 years now? Mm. That we've only had one man been brave enough to come on, and that was our lovely Simon.
Yes.
Who said, I've been through depression and I'm happy to talk about it. So, very brave. We've got to take one advert break more, and we'll be right back with you.
Hi,
Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
It has been a busy day, ladies. It's a popular subject. So, to our three ladies, I want to know exactly where you are, what you do, how people can contact you, starting with you, Kim.
Well, I am a spiritual life coach, as you now know. I am an energetic healer. I host women empowering events like women's circles. And I'm a grounding and meditation instructor and reseller of the energetic tool, the eHarmonizers. You can contact me on fenhelenhealing.com. Helen is E-L-E-N. Yeah, it's English. Sorry, I'm Dutch. I'm trying. Or on Facebook on Van Helen Healing or on Insta, Kim Van Helen.
I've seen these menopause settles. I've seen you advertising them and they look so calming and nice.
They are amazing. Yeah. If you can come, join.
Yeah, definitely. Gabby, over to you.
Yeah, hi. I'm a connection and purpose coach, as I mentioned earlier. My website's under construction at the moment. So the best way to get in touch with me would be through Facebook, Gabrielle Dagama. That's D-A space G-A-M-A, the surname. And I think also on LinkedIn, under the same name, you could find me there. The kind of people that tend to come to me are those that are self-doubting, kind of people that are looking for a new direction in life. And I'm also actually currently taking on younger people that are looking for a sense of purpose.
Wonderful, wonderful. And our lovely Michelle, do you have some contact numbers for us?
I do. So for anybody that is in Spain currently and is struggling and needs to speak to somebody immediately, there is Samaritans in Spain on 900-525-100, and they are open from 10 in the morning till 10 in the evening. And there is also, if you are in Spain, the UK or anywhere else, mind.org, and they have a support line 0300-102-1234, or can be contacted at info@mind.org.uk.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. So, Gabrielle Dagama, Kim Van Helen and Michelle Mack, give yourself a round of applause.
Yay. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. We'll be back with another one. I think the next one's the 6th of November. It's the first Thursday of November. Anna is next, who's sitting in for Hannah. That gets difficult, Anna and Hannah. And I'll be back tomorrow with more lifestyles. But for today's show, it's time for this.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Trying hard to feel the air.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.